Good morning. As usual, it's good to be back. They say it's a gitz again, it's gitz a kim tzadik. It's good to go, it's good to come back. We met your daughter at our family simcha.
I remember. I'm proud of myself that I remember.
That's best regards.
We were at
about 10 times since then, yes. But it's still good that I remember. So we were at a family simcha in New York, and from there we went to a convention of the Mizrahi in Chicago, where there were over 800 people over a Shabbos. It was very nice. I didn't know that there were 800 Mizrachists left in the world, and here they were. Certainly all of them were in Chicago. Very, very wonderful people. Really a beautiful convention. And I imagine that since Rabbi Adler was the guest last year, and I follow Rabbi Adler, so I imagine this year it had to be me. Now I'll have to find out where else Rabbi Adler has been so that I'll follow him elsewhere. But it's very beautiful. Whenever it comes to Parshas Mishpatim, of course, the choice of what to talk about, there are 53 mitzvot, each one of them carrying great import, powerful mitzvot in Parshat Mishpatim. Go figure out. Every year I go through the same thing. It takes me 2-3 days to figure out what to focus on, and then of course you need a few days to prepare the shiur. So this time around, of course, it was the Haaretz that saved me, as the Haaretz usually saves me out of a difficult position. Here I have in front of me an editorial from Sunday morning, an editorial. And the editorial talks in extremely, extremely harsh terms. If I would say what the Haaretz says, I'd be accused as being an extremist and a meshuggah and just in general off the wall. But of course, if I'm quoting Haaretz, they are of course the great intellectuals and the enlightened ones of this world, where they say that the charges for which Omri Sharon has been convicted are very, very serious, and they are serious enough to lead them to the conclusion that there's a very strong possibility that when Ariel Sharon was elected prime minister, what was it, 3 years ago, 4 years ago, he bought the prime ministership. Kana Shilton. He purchased it. He had by far more money than anybody else had in order to run his campaign, and all of this money came from all sorts of sources. We don't even know yet where they came from. A few million dollars over there, we don't know whether it came from one source, it came from a few sources. And I just underlined a few sentences over here that became very significant to me. Hachashadhu, the suspicion is, ki mishpachat Sharon kibla, the Sharon family received $3 million shochad, bribery. $3 million bribery may anshei asakim, from business people, and maybe only from one businessman. And they therefore say that chakirat matan shochad l'rosh hamemshala eina yechola lehistayem stam kach. The suspicion of bribery of the rosh hamemshala cannot just stop. It has to continue, and we have to find out what the truth is. And even though the prime minister is sick, but we have to root out all of this shchitut, the corruption. I like, of course, the chashad shochad. Shochad and Chashad have the same letters. Suspicion of bribery. Or anybody who's bribed is suspected of not necessarily saying the truth. So of course, that was it. That was it. We're going to talk about Shochad lo tikach, you shall not take bribery. By the way, one of the most serious problems in government today. Naomi Blumenthal was convicted last week of Matan Shochad. Matan Shochad. There must be so many upper and lower levels of people in government. Shochad! I remember in America years ago there was, what do they call it, payola? There were people who were paying money so that their songs should be played on the radio, pushed up to the in the days of radio, pushed up to the top 10 or something like that. Money and favors change hands in order to advance the interests of individuals, and this is has one of the most corrupting influences on government, on the judicial system, on everything else. Everything else. Let's hear what Torah has to say about it. And I believe what's significant about what Torah has to say about it is the aside from what we're going to see that Torah has to say. There's been an ongoing debate, even though now the debate, I think, is not so serious. Not too many people interested in it, but I remember Rav Herzog Zeched Tzadik Livracha, who was the first chief rabbi of the State of Israel, wrote a good number of articles about the idea of instituting in this country Mishpat Ivri. Law should be Hebrew law. The law that governs the State of Israel today is a mixture, a cholent and not such a tasty one at that, of Turkish law, Ottoman law, British law, and of course there's Roman law and English law. But wait a minute, we have a Torah. We have a Torah. A law that predates them all. Isn't there something that a choshen mishpat, the laws adjudicating relationship between men and fellow men, between men and government, there's nothing that all of Torah has to say about it? We as a proud Jewish people in a country that's supposed to be a Jewish democracy, or a democracy with a little bit of Yiddishkeit thrown in, depending on which side of the spectrum you find. So there should be Mishpat Ivri, and Rav Herzog wrote about this a great deal. Let's see what Mishpat Ivri has to say about it. And then one other idea. It is in the nature of you, of human beings. 10 people can see the same thing and walk out with 10 completely different opinions of what took place. We have the classic example. Classic example is Vayar Yisrael at Hayad HaGdolah. The Jewish people saw the great hand of God at the Red Sea. Vayaminu Vashem uRamoshe Abdo, and they believed in God and His servant Moshe. And together with Moshe, they burst out into song, Oz Yoshe Moshe Vene Yisrael. Moshe and the children of Israel began to sing the great song. And then comes that great statement when they say, Zekeli Vanveu, this is my God, and I will exalt him, Elokei Ovi Va'aronimenu, the God of my father, and I will raise him above all others. And the great Rashi that I must have said, who knows how many shurim are that Rashi. If they said Zek Kaili Van Veyo, that means they saw, as Rashi says, a maid servant at the sea saw more than the prophet Yechezkel Ben Buzi. She saw more at the seashore, you understand, than all the prophets. And that's why they were able to point and say, Zekeli van Behu. Why were they able to do it? So Rashi says, you know why they were able to see so clearly the hand of God? Because of the Ke'ovi Varo Memenu. It was the God of my father. Lo ami tchilat hakedusha. Rashi says, I am not the beginning of this sanctity. Elamu zeket bo medetli. I already have this in my neshama, his divinity and his sanctity from the days of my father. Because I believed in God, I was able to see him. Amazing thing Rashi is saying. And we've talked about this in the past and in all sorts of different contexts where I've quoted the my godel Marshall McLuhan, who said I wouldn't have seen it if I hadn't believed it. What a great word. I wouldn't have seen it if I hadn't believed it. And I told you the story in the past that I was so moved, so deeply moved by those words. I couldn't believe that the Torah didn't say something of the sort until it struck me. Zekei Livan Vehu, this is my God. Elokei Aviv Aron Menu. You know why I saw it? Because I believed it. But now there were other people that knew about Kriyat Yamsuf. According to one medrash, the whole world felt it. And in the Shira we say, Shamu amim yirgozum chil ochaz yoshe ploshes oz nivhalu elufe edom elei moab yochazemo ra'ad namogu kol yoshe kinan. Shamu amim yirgozum, the peoples of the world heard. Amon, Moab, Edom, Kanani, they heard, they trembled from before God, they shook. That was one response. 40 years later, when they come into Eretz Yisrael, there's going to be a woman by the name of Rachav who's going to tell the messengers of Yehoshua ben Nun, Shamanu, we heard, van nimas levavenu, and our hearts melted away from fear from before God. That was one response. There was another response. The other response was Amalek. Vayago Amalek. Amalek came and he waged war with Israel at Rephidim, because Amalek also has heard, and what Amalek wants to do is undo the effect of Kriyat Yamsuf. They want to, as Rashi says, jump into the boiling bath in order to make it cool for others. They are ready to go out there because they want to strike down, erase, remove, obliterate the impact of Kriyat Yamsuf. And then there's a fourth response. The first is Israel, Zekeli. The second, the nations of the world who tremble. Amalek, who comes to wage war. And then there's Yitro. Vayishma Yitro. Yitro also heard. He also heard. And you know what Yitro did? He came out to the desert. He came to join that people. Not to fight them, but to join them. And he is the one who comes out into the desert and he says, Baruch Hashem, blessed is God, who saved you from the hands of Paro and the hands of Egypt. What a different response. All of them heard and saw the same thing, but they all respond differently. I would say that Amalek's, in a sense, is the closest to Israel. Israel sees God because it's Elokei Avi, the God of my father. Amalek also has a father. His father was Esav. So he sees differently. Zeh Yisrael, you understand? And I will destroy them. Because I see the vision of my father Esav before me. Yitro, I would say, is the only one whose eyes are open and who sees and can see with a sense of great clarity. And he comes out to the desert to join the Jewish people. Famous Rashi at the beginning of Parshat Yitro, Vayishma Yitro, Yitro heard. Rashi asks, Mashmua Shama Ubo, what was it that he heard that compelled him to come out into the desert? I mean, he could have heard and stayed at home and turned heavenward and say, Baruch Hashem. He could have done that too. What was it that compelled him to come out into the desert? So Rashi says, Kriyat Yamsuf, Umilchemet Amalek, the splitting of the Red Sea, and the battle that Amalek waged with the Jewish people, and all of the Mepharshim, I have asked throughout all of time since Rashi was written, well, why didn't he come right after Kriyat Yam Suf? Why doesn't he come right after the splitting of the Red Sea? Why does he wait till after Milchemet Amalek, the battle with Amalek? So there are those who say, a very beautiful thought, there are those who say that after Kriyas Yam Suf, he does not join the Jewish people in the desert because no people can live on wonders alone. We're living in a real world. In a real world, Kriyas Yam Suf is a once in history kind of development. It can only happen once. Not going to happen again and again. That doesn't mean that they are a people are standing on solid ground. Oy, but when Amalek attacks, and the response of the Jewish people, as Moshe says, choose men, Yahushua, and go out and wage war. When he sees that Jews are prepared to fight for themselves and stand up for themselves, he says, ah, this people has a future. Therefore he goes out into the desert to join them. This past Shabbos in Shul, I said a different pshat. I like my pshat. I'm getting to like it more and more. Nobody needed Yitro after Kriyat Yam Suf. Rashi says he came after Kriyat Yam Suf and Milchemet Amalek. Everything changes with the sneak attack of Amalek. With the sneak attack of Amalek, Jews become the pursued. They are pursued by a pursuer called Amalek. We now, in the longer view of history, can of course say that was the first pursuit of the Jewish people after they came out of Egypt, and they are pursuing us ad hayom hazeh, until today. We are the nirdafim, we are the pursued. And there's a world out there of pursuers. You know what Yitro knows? Pasuk in Kohelet. Elokim yevakesh et hanirdaf. God stands side by side with the one who is being pursued. You know what? In America they would say, God is with the underdog. And boy, we've been the longest surviving underdogs in all of history. Nobody needs Yitro after Kriyas Yam Suf. When things are going so well, you know, we need another fellow to jump onto the bandwagon. Kadima, let's go! Everybody's jumping onto the bandwagon. No. Do you know when we need Yitro? When we don't have friends. When we're the pursued. And then Yitro feels his sense of fairness sends him out into the desert to stand side by side. I identify with the Jewish people. I have had my differences of opinion occasionally with people. Only occasionally. It angers me. Then I was going to make it softer and say it upsets me, but the truth is it enrages me. When people in our own camp don't stand side by side with us, but side with the pursuers. The Dati Le'umi community in Eretz Yisrael today is a community of pursued. And there are those who are pursuing us. And one has to know exactly where to stand firmly. And not everybody does. For all sorts of reasons. People have all sorts of reasons. And all of these reasons are shochad. Is it because one wants to be accepted in a certain society or milieu? Is it because he wants to be respected by President's Conference? Is it because he wants to be invited to the White House? I don't know how many other things. Does he want to be wined and dined when he comes to Eretz Yisrael? And we're the bad guys now, and you don't stand with the bad guys. Yitro had great courage. Yitro understood God stands with the pursued. And while war is being waged against the Jewish people, he comes out into the desert to identify with himself, with them, because he sees things differently. Shohad, bribery, graft. Let's see the pasuk. What does the pasuk say? Torah says it twice. Number one, number two. Number one is in this week's Seder, Parshas Mishpatim. Parshas Mishpatim. Lo tate mishpatim, shall not incline judgment to be wrong. Lo tate mishpatev yoncha berivo. When you're the poor is being pursued, you should not incline justice against him. Midvar sheker tirchak. Distance yourself from falsehood. The tzaddik altaro. Don't let it happen that the tzaddik should be killed. Ki lo adzdik rosho, because I will not justify the one who was evil. V'shochad lo tikach. What a pasuk. V'shochad lo tikach. You shall not take bribery. Ki hashochay ya'aver pikhim. Because bribery blinds the wise. And we have to understand what a pikeach is. V'yisaleif. And it... V'yisaleif divrei tzadikim. And it perverts the words that are tzaddikim, that are righteous. We're going to see what it all means. And then we have it again, number two, is from Parashah Shoftim in Sefer Mishnah Torah. Shoftim v'shoftim titan l'chob d'chol sh'orecho. In all of your gates there shall be judges and officers, asher asher v'lekecho noten loch. In the land that God gives you, l'shvatecho v'shoft l'tohom mishpat tzedek. Lo tate mishpat, the same thing as it says over here. Lo takir panin. You can't single out one of the litigants and give him preferred treatment. The lo tikach shochad, and you shall not take bribery. Shochad ya'aved einei chachamim, because shochad blinds the eyes of the. I translated pikhim as wise, so I'm going to have to find another translation for chachamim. I know what word I'm going to use. The learned. And then the Yisalev Divrei Tzadikim, the same thing here. Tzedek, Tirdof. Pursue, justice, shout out, pursue, Laman Pichye, B'yorashtet Aret, so that you should live and inherit the land, Asher Hashem Lekechon Oteila, that God your God gives you. Justice. Mishpat Tzedek. Is a fundamental principle of Mishpat in Ivrim. Is it necessarily so? We have a long, long way to go until we can say that there is Mishpat Tzedek in this country. We have a long, long way to go, unfortunately. Most probably learning with every member of Knesset and every businessman the Lo tikach shochad. Oh boy, will that be something to teach. But you know, you need Yirat Shemayim in order to be, you need fear of heaven in order to be shaken up from before lo tikach shochad. Let's take a look at the Rashis. Let's get some more information. Rashi and Parshas Mishpatim b'shochad lo tikach, it's right there under the psukim. Afilu mishpat emet. Do you hear that? Even if your intention is to judge truthfully, you're going to issue a judgment that is true. Can't take shochad. The koshkein kedei lahatot et hadin. Certainly, of course, you can't take shochad in order to change the din, to pervert the law. Sharei kedei lahatot et hadin nema kvar lo tate mishpat. Now, when it says that you shouldn't take bribery, it means to accept a bribe even when your intention is absolutely honest and sterling. You're not going to change any law because somebody gave you bribery, as Rashi points out, because the Pasuk already said lo tate mishpat. We know that, you know already that you're not allowed to pervert justice. And only after that does it say shochad lo tigach, you shouldn't take shochad. That means after you've passed the point of lo tate mishpat, that you're not going to change the law, you still can't take shochad. Because it is ya'aber pikhim, it blinds the pikhim. We said, when I got it again, we said wise. Afilu chacham b'torah v'not al shochad, even somebody who's wise in Torah, and he takes shochad, so sheti tarev dato, there's a curse inclined. There's a curse here. Even one who is wise in Torah and takes shalchan, so sheti tarev dato alof, the end is that his mind is going to become confused. He's a wise, intellectual person. But you know what Shochad is going to do? It's going to confuse. His whole mind is going to become confused. V'yishtakach Talmudo. He's going to forget his learning. V'yichem or einav. And the light of his eyes is going to be dimmed. He just won't be able to see anymore. All of a sudden, as I'm thinking, how many times have I told you that I think of things, or I get answers to questions that bother me as I say this year, because you put me under such tension, such blessed tension. Why doesn't Rashi simply say that, you know, it's going to blind the way you look at the at this case? Rashi's saying something far more than that. Rashi's saying this is going to have, call it emotional, mental, and ultimately physical effect on you. It's going to change you. I think Rashi says that here because this is something that bothered me, and in my investigations till now I haven't found anybody who talks about it, and all of a sudden it strikes me, maybe I might have the answer. Over here in Mishpatim it says v'shochad lo tikach. In Shoftim, in Sefer Devarim, it says v'lo tikach shochad. You got that? Over here it says v'shochad lo tikach. There it says v'lo tikach shochad. Why doesn't it say the same in both places? What is the difference between shochad lo tikach or lo tikach shochad? By the way in which it is expressed in Mishpatim, in Shoftim, in Sefer Mishnah Torah, is the way a negative commandment is usually expressed. Lo tikach shochad, lo tirzach, lo tinoch, lo tignoch, lo tikach shochad. Why does it say shochad? Lo tikach. There's something about the shochad lo tikach that it is not as demanding as lo tikach shochad. Lo tikach shochad is an absolute negative. It's a no-no. Niet. Loi mitakreisa alef. For shochad, not worthwhile taking it. I think that's exactly what compels Rashi to say over here that the pasuk is not necessarily talking about the aveira, the sin of taking shochad. You know what the Rebbeinu Shem is saying? Shochad, don't be a fool. Don't take it. It's not good for you. You know, on the money that one gets as shochad, it should say, shochad is dangerous for your health. It can lead to semi-blindness. It can, confusion. What is it that they write usually on medicines, the side effects, you understand? The what?
Hazardous.
Hazardous, yes. It's hazardous. It causes confusion of the mind. Your memory may go. Your memory may go. I mean, these are terrible things. And then, of course, that push it, your eyesight is going to go. So over here, you know, I think I'm getting to like this pshat better and better every minute. That's what compels Rashi to say. This is what compels Rashi to say. We would have expected Rashi to say, listen, it's going to blind you. You won't be able to see or understand or perceive the evidence and the people that are speaking to you. You're going to hear one side. You're not going to hear the other side. You are therefore going to end up with a judgment that is just plain wrong. No, no, Rashi doesn't say that. Rashi says it's going to affect you. It's going to affect you emotionally. It's going to affect your memory. It's going to affect your vision. Your vision. And Rashi says it because over here the Torah says, V'shochad, lo tikach. Don't be a fool. It's hazardous. It's dangerous. It's not good for your health. Yes?
It's called
Alzheimer's. It only happens very much. Yeah, I didn't want to use leave the impression, you can't leave the impression that people get ill because of shochad. You know, it happens to people that don't take shochad. Never. Alright, let's go further. Rashi, okay, so we did that. Rashi, divrei tzaddikim dvorim ha-mutz Hametzudakim. You know, my vision I had. Dvara mishpateyemes. It's going to pervert the chain targumos. So the Targum says pidgamin teritzin yishodim. Words that are right, words that are correct, are going to be perverted. The Sefer Achinuch. Let's take a look at number three. We'll go to the other Rashi's as well. The Sefer Achinuch says mitzvah. Shalom Likach Shochad Mitzvah 83. Shalom Likach Adayin Shochad Mibale Adin, that the Dayan should not take Shochad, should not take bribery from the litigants. Afilu Adun Din Emet, even if he plans on passing in the truth, Shinema, Vishochad Lo Tikach. The Nichpa Alav the Torah, this negative commandment is repeated again in Torah, Vizeho Inyan, Vimakom Acher, in another place. Which I have, of course, given you. The other place is in Parashas Shoftim. The Sifrei. This is what the Sifrei said. Lo tikach shochad, afilu lezako zaka yulechayim chayav. You don't take shochad even to find innocent the innocent, and to find the guilty guilty. Now, the chinuch always has the reason behind the mitzvah, which he calls mishoroshei hamitzvah, the root of the mitzvah. And here he's extremely brief. Mishoroshei hamitzvah, from the root or the reason behind this mitzvah, shenesar oleinu likach shochad, we've been prohibited from taking bribery, afilu ladonet din hadin lamito, even if our intention is to pass in the din in truth, kedei lahosin ibeinenu haher galacha, in order to remove that bad habit, pen of omi tokach ladon b'shochad dinei sheker, the davar borer hu ein tzorech mofet. He says, why did the Torah prohibit taking bribery when I plan to paskin the truth? Because if you get into the habit of taking, the moment will be reached at which you're going to take shochad, and it's going to cloud your vision, and you're not going to paskin din emes. And he says, listen, Dovah Baruhu, it's so clear that that's the meaning behind this. Ain't Tzarech Mofet, I don't have to bring proof, I don't have to bring anything else. We'll go to the Dinei HaMitzvah in a moment, but first I want to tell you the very, very beautiful Ksava HaKabbalah. This is in Parashat Shoftim, you don't have it on your sheet, so it says the following. We have to differentiate between the pasuk here and the pasuk there. Now, the last three words of the pasuk are the same here and there. V'yisaleif divrei tzadikim. Right? You see it in Mishpatim and you see it in Shoftim. V'yisaleif divrei tzadikim. It's in the first part of the pasuk. Shochad lo tikach. And over there it says v'lo tikach shochad. We've already explained the difference between the two. Now, here it says in Mishpatim, ki hashochad ya'aver pikchim, the shochad is going to blind pikchim. Let's not translate it yet. Over there it says, shochad ya'aver is going to blind chachamim. So the difference between here and there, here it says it blinds pikhim, there it says it blinds chachamim. What's the difference between pikhim and chachamim? So he says the following. He says that the description of pikeach is used with regard to a person who does not possess foolishness. Foolishness, he says, is something that covers the heart, that you can't see anything straight. You know, I'll tell you my own words what he wants to say. A pikeach is not necessarily a learned person. He doesn't have book knowledge. He may not even be a Talmud Chacham. But there are people, we meet them, we know about it all the time. We know about people that have Seichel HaYosher. They just have good common sense. Good common sense. That happens to be, sometimes it can even be a rare commodity. And to have good common sense, for example, in every area of life, that's really, very few people have that. When there is a situation in which we personally are involved, we may not necessarily have good common sense. And that, you know what you need? You know what you need, therefore? You need a friend who's more objective and has common sense. There are times that I wonder, people call me with all sorts of questions. And to me it seems so clear, and I have to pinch myself all the time and say, listen, they're caught in this situation, they have all sorts of pressures being brought to bear on them, it's difficult for them to see with clarity what should be done. I had somebody call me yesterday in such a terrible state, and I heard, I listened, I asked a few questions, and then I began to advise. By the time we were finished with it all, this person like thanked me profusely, like as though it's a godel hador over here. What a brilliant guy, and I could have taken her seriously and really believed that I'm something special. But I was able to tell myself, no, she's caught with all of these conflicting pressures, or she can't free herself to see it clearly. So you need somebody else who can see it clearly. I know this woman to be a very intelligent person, and I'm sure that in any situation where she's not under any kind of pressure, she will see things with absolute clarity. A pikeach is a person who's not necessarily learned. Not a Talmud Chacham, doesn't have book knowledge, but he has seichel. By the way, there are times in which I begin to think that that's a rare commodity, but then again, you know, you meet a lot of people and you find a lot of people that, not so many, you know, a few people anyway, that have seichel ayasha. A pikeach, by the way, the word pikeach in Hebrew also means somebody who can see, physically see clearly. When Moshe Rabbeinu at the snare says to God, God Almighty, who am I that I should go to Paro? I can't talk. So God says to him, what are you talking about? Mi asum, who is the one that makes pikeach o iver? Who makes one who can see and one who can't see? I'm the one. I can make you talk. Over there, pikeach is the exact opposite of Iver. Iver is blind, and Pikeach is one who can see. The Pikeach over here is talking about the one who just can see things clearly. He has a good head on his shoulders. You know, we can also call him, he's street smart. He's street smart. There are times at which people come to me and ask a shaila that has to do with business, you know, and when they start, and when they start telling me, this and that, they start going into numbers and addition and subtraction and fractions. I'm finished. I'm gone. I'm out of there. So I tell them, and the Shulchan Aruch says that, to adjudicate a dispute like that between people, you know what you can have? You can have of businessmen who have sechel yosha. He doesn't have to know the halacha. He just has to have no business and has to have a sechel yosha. He can sit down and work out the difference of opinion between the two. That's a pikeach. That's a pikeach. A chacham, the term that is used in Parsha Shoftim, chachma, this is not only said by the Ksav HaKabbal, the Malbim says it throughout his Perush Shel Tanach. Chachma is the one who has received wisdom that has been handed down from generation to generation. It's book knowledge. Chachma is Moshe Kibel Torah Misinai Umasoro LeYoshua. Moshe received Torah at Sinai, and it goes on from generation to generation. The Chacham is the one who is wise because he has received the knowledge, he studied, he's learned, he's a Talmud Chacham. That's a Chacham. What may shake you, of course, is the Ksav HaKabbalah goes on to say, you can, just like you can have a Pikeach who's not a Talmud Chacham, unfortunately, you know what else? You can have a Talmud Chacham who's not a Pikeach. He may have a tremendous amount of book knowledge, but he isn't necessarily street smart. And if he's not street smart, they can pull the proverbial biblical wool over his eyes. To be dan din emes lamito, to paskin something to its real truth, a dayan, a judge, has to be able to sense when there's din meruma. I'll tell you what din meruma is. Din meruma means everything seems clear. This fellow presented his testimony and his witnesses or his proof. This one, great case. But there's something in my kish gut. There's something here that tells me too smooth. It's too good. You just feel that you're missing something. Something's wrong. You can't put your finger on it. A dayan has to be able to be aware of something that, you know, there's something wrong. There's something wrong. I can't put my finger on it. But I have to do a lot of work. In order to be able to sense that something is wrong, you have to be a pikeach. You have to have street smartness. You have to have common sense. Because, you know, if you go by the book, well, all the proof is there. Everything is in order. I see all the documents. This fellow is certainly right. And he might be all wrong. Scary, by the way. Being a judge is scary. But what's unfortunate over here is, for example, in our Supreme Court, we know in advance that every member of the Supreme Court has an agenda. I think that it's absolutely simple. A case is brought before the Supreme Court, we can predict in advance precisely how the Supreme Court is going to pass judgment. Everybody walks in with a Weltanschauung showing a philosophy and beliefs, and all of these are, of course, brought to bear on what he is passing. Isn't that a form of shochad as well? Of course that's shochad. To be absolutely objective is near impossible. The closest one can come to being truly objective is somebody who is a real Yorei Shamayim, God-fearing. If you're not God-fearing, forget it. Everybody has an agenda. You understand, the court does not want to take in certain people into the high court because they have an agenda. As though all the members of the Supreme Court now don't have an agenda. They don't have an agenda. Of course they all have an agenda. And that agenda is shochad. Without Yirat Shemayim, it doesn't work. So therefore the Ksav HaKabbalah says the following. The two psukim, the one in Parshas Mishpatim and the one in Shoftim, they complement one another. You take the two psukim together, and you know what they tell you? They tell you, first of all, the pikeach, the one who has real good common sense, a healthy view of right and wrong. Shochad can blind him. And then in Parshas Shoftim, it says, Ki ha-shochad ya'aver einei chachamim. Now what else is interesting about this pasuk? By chachamim it says einei chachamim. Here it doesn't say ki ha-shochad ya'aver einei pikhim. You know why? Because the pikeach, the guy, the fellow who has good common sense, he's all eyes. You don't have to say it about him. His whole character and personality is he sees. Therefore, Yaver, the Pikeach. The Chacham is the one who's book smart. We have to say that he also has eyes. And those eyes of his are going, he may know the Psach in the Shulchan Aruch. He may know how to listen to the testimony. But there's the eye of Seichel HaYosha that is going to be blinded, and you need the two of them together. The two psukim, here and there. Both of them joined together in order to tell us that what you really need is a Talmud, a Chacham who's a Pikeach. That's what you really need. And even the Chacham who is Pikeach, the learned man who is street smart, Shochad blinds him. Shochad blinds him. Let's go a little further. Midine ha-mitzvah. The dine ha-mitzvah, the laws of this mitzvah, ma'asham ruzachron al-rova, what our rabbis of blessed memory said, sha'anotein ha-mekabel ovrim dalav. The one who gives bribery and the one who takes, both of them transgress a negative commandment. Hanotein, the one who gives it, he's over the avera of the lifnei iver lo titein mitzvah. You shall not place a stumbling block before the blind. By virtue of the fact that he gives the bribe, then he is of course causing the receiver to stumble. Kablo, the one who receives shochad, is bechlal oro. He falls into the category of those who are accursed. V'chayev l'hachziram. By the way, he has to return it. How do you like that? You have to return the bribe. V'shal also l'dayin l'hadil ma'alato l'chavana k'day l'harbot z'cha l'sofrav. A dayin also is prohibited from creating a whole group of assistants and secretaries and mankalim and mankaliot and all of this, so that there will a lot of people are going to receive salaries from this. Kedei laharbot sachar lesofrav, to the scribes, the shafilu, and here comes most important. This is the most important. The shafilu shochad dvarim also likach. You're not allowed to take verbal bribery. Verbal bribery. I don't know if we're going to get to it yet, but we'll see. The Gemara on the other side of the sheet, don't turn over yet, lists what's considered verbal bribery. No, it's just saying a nice word to the judge, you understand? Just saying a nice word to the judge. Or sort of sidling up to the judge, not giving him shochad. The Gemara brings a number of cases where the judge was a kohen, and the person who's coming for a din Torah brings his truma that he usually gives to this kohen anyway, and he brings it on at a time that he wouldn't normally bring it. And the judge asked him, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Elisha, I believe, asked him, why did you bring the truma now? Oh, I have to come with a din Torah to you anyways. I thought, listen, I'm coming for a din Torah, so I might as well bring the truma. So he says, Pasilna l'chol dina, I cannot be dying. I had I had once to testify before the Beis Din HaGadol. I'm talking about the religious Beis Din HaGadol here in Yerushalayim. And I didn't know who the Dayanim were that was sitting in judgment over there. And it seems they asked who's going to testify. It was to testify on behalf of a woman who was whose husband was not former husband was not treating her too well. The word comes out that Din is not going to sit. One of the Dayanim was a mechutin of mine. Said, Arav Gold, he's coming in to, I cannot listen to this. You know what that means? That means he likes me. If my mechitin wouldn't like me, you know, it wouldn't make a difference anyway. Or maybe it would be worse, yeah. It could be worse. Maybe because he didn't like me, he didn't want. Oh, no, we get along well. Phil Shokha Devorim Osalikach. Elayida Atzmo, the judge has to see himself, Ki'ilu Eino Mesim Libo Klal on the bottom. He's paying no attention at all to anything that's said. Imulayichabduhu Balei Adin B'Dvarim, if maybe the litigants are going to honor the Dayan with words, it has to mean nothing to him. Klolo Sholtava, the rule is, Also La Dayan Mutabal Hanomi Balei Adin Klal B'Shvil Dinav. The dying is not permitted to receive any kind of benefit from any of the litigants because of what he's going to pass them. But, the halach is, what happens if the dying has a job? And he's taking off a few hours from his job now in order to listen to the litigants. I mean, he couldn't make his parnasa. You have a right, you have a responsibility. Both sides equally have to pay the fee on the dime. He has a right. You know, you're not allowed to take money in order to listen to a din Torah. But I don't have to incur a loss. I have a job. I would have made X number of shkalim during this period of time. If the dayan is also a bal malacha, he has a job. He tidulo chachamim. The chachamim permitted him lishol mi balei adin shkar b'talato. He has a right to ask some of the litigants that they should pay that for which he wasn't able to do his work. But talato mi malachta, that he didn't do his work. Va'ot shi'aso b'dino, while he's involved in doing that deed. It has to be clear that the money that he receives is only for his time and not more. You take from both sides equally. Alright, now here's an interesting, the last line. Always the same idea is expressed in the last line, and that is the Noheget, about each mitzvah, the Sefer HaChinuch says, when does it apply? To whom does it apply? To men, to women. The Noheget, b'chol makom, b'chol zman, b'zecharim, and it applies in all places and in all times by males. Shehem donim, because they're the ones who are dayanim. Wait. Alright? The Minchas Chinuch, who explains the words of the Chinuch, says, wait a minute, the halacha in Shulchan Aruch is, if the two sides accept upon themselves a woman to litigate between them, absolutely kosher to be a dayan. If the two of them decide, Devorah is a shofetet that you saw. Devorah is a shofetet. We're going to go to Devorah. Now we can choose anybody else. So then he says it does apply to women too. The moment they accept her upon themselves as the one who's going to adjudicate the dispute between them, she is a dayanet. Is there such a word? I don't know. We create dayan, and then she can't take shachar. Of course, she can't take shachar. V'over alav ekiba shochan, somebody who transgresses and receives shochan, over al mitzvah smelach, has transgressed the mitzvah of the king. V'ein aloke, lefish nitan lehishamo. But he doesn't get the punishment of lashes, because he always has the possibility of returning the money, or the gift, whatever it was. Now, I'm going to learn the Rambam with you, because the Rambam may save us. The Rambam is going to, in such a beautiful short form, tell us the whole Gemara, that whole big long Gemara, that maybe next year we'll learn. It's a beautiful, beautiful Gemara. It's just that you have to see the extent of the honesty that is required of Dayanim and dignity. Oh, if this Veshachat Lo Tikach would become a basic part of our existence, what a difference it would make. Shochad, what is it, oils the wheels of everything from politics to business. It's unbelievable. What are you talking about? Just read the paper every day, all over the world, everything, like it's sort of, you know, you have to know when to what do they call it? What do you do with somebody's palm? You know, grease. That's it.
Oil
or grease the palm. Like it's. What are you talking about? All right, I can understand. I come into a hotel. You understand that the guy schleps up my 25 suitcases to the room, so I grease his palm. I'm paying him for what he did, and I also want to make sure that when I'm getting ready to leave, he will also come up and schlep all the stuff down to the car. That's legitimate. I'm paying him for the work that he's doing. Rambam. Number four. Oh, we're going to have to view. Halacha Gimel. That's all. I'm running through Halacha Gimel. Hold on. Kol Dayan. She Yoshevu Mekatz. Number four. Kol Dayan. She Yoshevu Umekadel Malachor. Every Dayan who sits in his place of judgment and he raises his reputation in order that he should be able to give more salary to Chazanov, those who work for him, who was so from the scribes, he's considered amongst those who are inclined toward graft. That's what the sons of Shmuel did, and therefore it says about them, they were inclined to graft and they took bribes. Here, this is what I want. Not only the shochad of giving money, even the shochad of words. Umaisa, the story is told of the Dayan Echad, one judge, Shehoya Ola Bidugit Kitano Lavo Banor. He was crossing a river in a ferry, a small ferry. Upashat Echad Yodo Visio Valiaton. Somebody stretched out his hand and help the dying get onto the little boat that's going to cross the river. And you know what happened? And the man said, "Vayalodin," and he had a case to be brought before the dying. "Vam alavad dying," so the dying said, "Hadeni pasul choladin, I can't pass them for you." Now, what he did was so natural, so normal. Anybody else would have done the same thing. But you know what this dying felt? He did me a favor. I cannot be objected anymore. Little favor. Umayshevecha, the story is told about one shehevir, evrat notza shel oaf me al redid hadayon. A feather fell onto the coat of the dayan, and this fellow comes over and he takes off the feather. And then he tells the dying, you know, I have a case to be brought before you. And you know what the dying told him? Not me. Had any possible call the dying, Eladin. And there was somebody who, it seems there was something disgusting on the floor, spit or something, and somebody went ahead and he covered it before the judge got there, so he shouldn't see it. And then he says, I have a case. So he says, Adeni Pasula Khaladin, no siri, gonna be me. Uba Maitsubekod, Shahidi Matana, Achas, Nimatnos Kuhuna, that's the one that I told you, he brought one of the gifts of those that is supposed to be given to the Kohen, and he brings it to the Dayan who is a Kohen, and he usually gives it to him. And the Dayan said, Pasula Mi Lakhaladin, I cannot ask him. Umaisu Boris Echod, and Oris is a sharecropper who brings a certain amount of his crop to the Dayan, who happens to be the owner of his field. And he brought it on Thursday instead of Friday. usually brought it on Friday, he brought it on Thursday, and he says, you know, I wanted to do two things at the same time, and I have a din to bring before you. No, I can't. Dayan says no, even though he's receiving from him what belongs to him. He's giving the Dayan the Dayan's share of the produce. No, he won't do it. Parmacha said, yeah, okay, that's the one I just said. Umaisa Boris Echot, shall dine, shall you maybe lo to aim him, every Friday he would bring him figs. Parmacha's higdin behavi bechamishi, he brought on Thursday, meshahayalo din, because he had a dini one task him, and the dine said, harini pasulahadin. Ahal pishahat to aim him, shall dayon, even though the figs belong to the judge. Hoel the hevi on shalot is manon, because he brought them not on the proper time, nishalolodin, he can't task them for. The Gemara goes on to describe how a number of the Tanoim said, after they had said, I'm puzzled, I cannot pass him, they were thinking in their head, my, if I would be him, I would claim such and such. This is the way I would present my case. And then they said to themselves, thank God I'm not passing this Shiloh. Because of this little favor, I already feel closer to him. And because I feel closer to him, I'm not going to be able to see the truth as it is. Shochad lo tikach. I imagine in the days of Mashiach, it will become the way in which people are going to conduct themselves. But until such time, and believe me, you're not going to hear this too often, I agree with the editorial in Haaretz that Shochad simply has to be erased, because we don't know how much we have suffered here in this country from all sorts of Shochad. We don't even begin to understand the extent to which Shochad corrupts. It eats away at the body politic, at the whole system of justice. Okay, that's it.
Thank you.
Does it say that a Dayan, when he renders his decision, is supposed to imagine that there's a sword above his head and a ham below?
Yes, very good. Very good. I mean, we have only surface of what has to be said. All right.
What about Korach Pikeach?
You know what? Korach was both. Pikeach and Chacham. And you know why? Because it was his Pikchus that should have operated over here. His Chachma wouldn't have told him what to do. His Pikchus should have told him, who are you starting off with? Why? And why did he do it? So it's clear. Very good. Korach is excellent. You should have raised your hand. You should have raised your hand. Because he was...